I was hit in the head with a brick once. My brother threw it at me right after I threw two at him. Once, while helping my dad put up a barbed wire fence, the end of the barbed wire came unwound and smacked me across the face. I've been bitten several times by emotionally unstable teenagers. I've had various body fluids thrown at me and on me. I've only been in one serious auto accident in my life, but numerous accidents with chainsaws, axes, lawnmowers, and my 69 Pontiac Executive. Oh, and I was hit by a 2x4 in the jaw once. I got to physically restrain a police officer one time when I worked in a psychiatric hospital. I held him down while the nurse put Haldol in his hip. I've watched patients in the trauma ward, the hospital, die. And then I've seen the doctors bring them back to life again. I've been in a Chinese market in Beijing and watched a butcher kill and dress puppies for food. And I one time watched a Japanese family eat raw fish while the fish was still breathing. I even helped a nurse suture up a male patient one time. And once, 5 years ago, I was within days of dying from a staph infection. But not once during any of these highly dangerous, highly emotional, deeply life-changing events, never once did I hear a voice or see a light telling me to preach the good news to the whole world. But then again, I'm not Saul, the infamous persecutor of the church, nor am I Paul, the missionary apostle to the Gentiles. And maybe this is the case where Paul is a little less hard-headed than your average Mississippi farm boy. But you've heard the story of Paul. Well on his way to Damascus, he's knocked to the ground by a flash of light and blinded. In his darkness, he is persecuting the church, eyes and heart closed. He arrests, jails, tries, and imprisons members of Christ's body. Ananias is told to go look for the blinded persecutor and teach him the faith. Ananias objects, saying that he has heard that this Saul is an infamous enemy of the church. But the Lord says to Ananias, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles." Ananias does as he is ordered, finding the blinded Saul and offering him the baptism of water and spirit. And once his eyesight is returned to him, Paul's vision of the church is radically changed. Now he is a member of the body, and he preaches Christ and him crucified. Now, all of these very serious machinations to get Paul on our side have a larger and better purpose than simply winning a hard one for the team. Without the benefit of Jesus' one-on-one instruction that the other apostles have received, Paul must do what the other 11 were commissioned to do, to go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. That's a very good commission. But did it require that Paul be body slammed by a burst of light and then several days of blindness live among Jewish strangers? Well, apparently it did. But why? Mark's gospel is elegant in its simplicity, its subtlety. Paul, like the other disciples and like ourselves, is charged with preaching the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe or to be baptized is condemned. Now, at this point in the Christian narrative, this is not a happy clappy message best delivered by recently scrubbed professors of theology or neatly styled media pastors. The weight of this choice is best delivered in all of its stark, uncompromising simplicity. It is best delivered by someone who never believed it before now, but because of a direct revelation from Christ himself, knows beyond the logic of language and speech that the gospel message is terrifyingly true. Paul met the message in the burst of light, but he came to believe in Christ in his blindness. Blind, crippled, dependent on strangers for his daily care, and newly commissioned to abandon everything, to abandon absolutely everything he had ever known to be good, true, and beautiful, Paul sees with new eyes, stronger eyes, and he is fortified against the lazy hearts and minds of those who would fall so easily back among their former ways, clouding the truth, burying the tough stuff under bushels of alien philosophies and favorite sins, all of which is a foreign fruit that will rot too soon and soon enough. All who heard him were astounded because he had been chosen from the world to go out, witness to the saving power of God, and bear through his witness the everlasting fruit of the Father's word.